was Jesus having an off day? The healer, right? Puts his hands on the man and then it's like, do you see anything? And the guy's like, I see trees walking around. People looking like trees. And he's like, dang it, man. Bad day. Let's try that again. How are you now? I see everything distinctly. All right, good. All right. No, of course not. Okay, so here's the genius. This is the genius of Mark and the genius of the gospel. You can take this passage, which is five verses, right? It's Mark 8, 22 to 26, right? Just five verses. 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Five verses. And it's the whole spiritual itinerary in some ways. All right, what does it look like? Well, let's go step by step. People bring this blind man to Jesus. A lot of times in the spiritual life, we think we're in charge, right? I'm going to Mass tonight. I'm going to pray. I am interested and curious in finding more about my faith and all this stuff. And we start to mistakenly put the emphasis on us and our decision, thinking that we're the ones who make it happen, right? But really, it's always the other way. And it's profoundly right. It doesn't, by the way, I'm not denigrating any of the decisions you've made to come to Mass tonight. It's just that all those decisions are secondary. They're secondary to other things that have moved before you. All of us are recipients of the faith of other people. We're an apostolic church, right? We trace our faith back through the apostles. We didn't make those choices for them. We didn't decide to believe. We're the beneficiaries of a phenomenal tradition rooted in sacrifice and love and faith. But the apostles themselves, the first people who followed Jesus, the apostles, the women who were with him, all those who were faithful when he was walking on this earth, he sought them out. That's the whole move of the incarnation. God searches for us. He finds us, and then we find him. Always God first. Grace is always the first move. It's always his move first, and it's always our response second, right? Once again, I want to repeat, I'm not diminishing your response in any way, shape, or form. I'm just putting it in its proper order. And so this blind man who, and blindness, by the way, in the scriptures is often indicative of sin. The blind can't see. The sinner can't see. Us in our sins, we're blinded. He's led by other people to Jesus. In the same way that you have been. Even if you're like, no, man, my spiritual journey. Oh, no, don't think it that way. It's not just you figuring this out. None of us would be here if other people hadn't led us to Jesus. That's the gift of the church. That's the beauty of the church. So these people lead this blind man to Jesus and beg the Lord to touch him. And then here's where it gets really cool. Jesus makes it very personal. And what he does, as Mark describes, is he took the blind man by the hand. To be blind, you can't see where you're going. And Jesus makes it personal. He takes the man by the hand and then leads him. And that's the first real move in authentic discipleship, is to be like, Lord, I can't see well. I need you to take me by the hand. I don't know if you've ever been led by the hand, if you've ever had a blindfold on and someone leads you by the hand. There's a phenomenal amount of trust that goes into that. You have to trust that the person actually is going to take you some good place. Maybe you've been burned by that in the past. You had a blindfold on, right? And someone led you right into a brick wall, right? Or something of that nature, right? And so it's scary, but there's trust involved. And Jesus does ask that we actually trust him. And so Jesus leads him. Where does he lead him? He leads him away from the village. And better theologians and preachers than me have explained why. Why that? Because the village is where the show is. It's public. And Jesus isn't about the show. He's about private, personal healing. He loves to work in the quiet, one-on-one, not as a show, one-on-one. So he takes them away from the village, right? And then the healing begins, right? He spits, and he places the spittle on the man's eyes. And you're like, man, that is a strange thing. And you're like, yeah, it kind of is. It's almost kind of gross, right? But St. Augustine talks about this. The mouth of Jesus, right? Jesus is the Word. So the wisdom of God, right? The mouth of Jesus, even the saliva of God is a healing ointment to the sinful soul. The word that Jesus speaks, that comes from his mouth, what comes from the mouth of God heals. And so he anoints his eyes, his sin-sick eyes, his blind eyes that can't function properly. He anoints them, and then he lays hands on him. And once again, look at how God works. He's not afraid of our woundedness. He's not afraid of our brokenness. In fact, he's drawn to it, and he wants to heal. The joke I made earlier, like, why didn't it work? This is exactly how it works, and it does work. It's that healing, it takes time. It's not always a one-and-done thing. I want to be healed. All right, come to Jesus. Good. Why doesn't it work right away? Because the Lord takes time to heal our hearts. So if we take this image, this twofold healing, right? A healing that brings you part of the way, and then a healing that brings you all of the way, and you expand that over time, like over our spiritual lives. The Lord is constantly working step by step, stage by stage. Healing, and then healing, and then healing, and then healing again. Because we have to learn how to trust him with our brokenness, to keep giving it to him. Can you see a little bit better? Okay, let me heal you. Let me touch you again. How can you see now? Ah, now I see distinctly. Okay? So for all of us who are wounded, all of us who are broken, you bring your heart to the Lord. Let him touch the woundedness. Let him heal what's broken. Let him get right in there. Will it happen on your terms, in your timing? Of course not, because you're not in charge. And the Lord knows how best to heal and in what way and in what time. So we trust ourselves to him. That he will heal, undoubtedly. How he will heal and when he will heal, it will be up to him. We just keep trusting him. Just keep bringing our hearts to him. When the healing finally happens, Jesus lays his hands on him a second time. And he saw clearly, his sight was restored. He could see everything distinctly. Ah, that's it, right? The real healing is to see things distinctly, to see with a discerning eye, to be able to say, yeah, this, not that. I see this clearly. I understand this. I'm able to make sense of it in the larger restoration of my vision. A sinner, sinners that we all are, we can't see things distinctly. Oftentimes we'll mistake things. We'll think something's good when it actually isn't. We'll think something's bad when it actually isn't. It's because we don't have very good vision. And I can speak directly to that because I have severe glasses. If I took my glasses off, I wouldn't recognize a one of you in here because my eyes are bad. I have poorly shaped eyes. And I need corrective lenses. And that's what grace is. And those of you who have been, in fact, I wasn't going to go down this rabbit hole, but I will now. Okay? What happens when you go to the optometrist? You know, they have you take off your glasses, you put on that strange thing, and then they're like, is this better or this better? And you're like, first. This better or that better? And you're like, second. This better or that better? And you're like, I don't know, dang it. Like, I'm going to screw this whole thing up and I won't be able to see, right? Everybody knows who's had that happen. We all know it. You're like, I made a mistake. Go back, right? Again, actually, friends, it's really good because that's what the Lord does. He's like, is this better or this better? And there's a part, and you know when you get it right, it's like, it gets kind of better, but it's not totally good. And then you get a little more right, and it gets more better. And then you get a little more right, and it's better until finally you get the right prescription. That's often how the Lord works. Then we see distinctly, okay? So trust that the Lord is a great optometrist. What happens at the end? Interesting. Jesus sent him home. He says, don't even go to the village. Don't even go back to where people are going to care all about this stuff. He's like, go home. Go home. That's what Jesus does to us, okay? He heals us, and then he sends us home. Our home is with God. Our home is here in the family of God, the church. It's where we're most ourselves. It's where we're provided for. It's where we're strengthened. It's where we're given our sense of identity and also our sense of mission. That's who Jesus is, okay? So, sinners, all of us, me, you, every one of us here, we all need that healing. Let the Lord touch the blindness. He wants to heal it. He wants to do it in a personal way to each and every one of us. He wants to restore our sight, to help us see things distinctly, and then to bring us home. Home is with God. Home is in his family, the church. It's a great home. Let's live here. Let's be healed here. And let's go forth and invite more people to their true home with God. Amen.